Start my recording. And it's just about time. A couple of people coming right in under the wire here. It's okay. This morning, as I was leaving our home and getting into our car, I became grateful for all of you guys who don't have to go out in the cold. And it's really interesting, you know, a couple of years ago, if we said, well, you don't have to be in class in person, you can come online. You know, we would have thought that was nuts. We didn't have the capability of doing that. And then all of a sudden, there it is. So I'm glad you're here. Glad you're warm. But I'm warm. Let's take a moment. As we, when we say this prayer of protection, this prayer of light together, let's realize that it's also a way of connecting with one another. Because when we say the light of God surrounds us, it's all of us, not just those in this physical space. And not even those in this particular class. It surrounds everyone and everything. Now we can be conscious of that or not. So even though the love of God or light of God surrounds everything, there are some who are not conscious of that yet. But I am reminding their divine self, I'm reminding their unconscious mind that this possibility and this connection is also true, whether you are conscious of it or not. So the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. And the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well. Need to share with you what we kind of had a little class before the class, which happens sometimes. And what we were talking about was making ourselves a little bit more aware, or sharing some, I say stories, but they're more of kind of heartfelt life experiences around making your transition. What we sometimes refer to as dying or leaving your body, which we're all going to do, by the way. And I would suggest that part of our journey here, part of our connectedness here, is in some ways preparation for that. That moment that's going to come for all of us, not only just when we choose to leave our bodies, but if we choose to let go of whatever that stuff is that we're holding on to, guilt, fear, shame, we were relating some life experiences, and I'll share one of mine with you. Maybe put this in context. I was living in South Dakota at the time. I was working on an Indian reservation, the Rosebud, out in South Dakota. And I got a telephone call from the wife of my first sponsor in AA. And Evelyn, who I did not know terribly well, her husband's name was Harold, called me up and said, Harold is in the hospital and he's dying. And I said, oh, thank you for letting me know, because we had lost contact over the past few years. I'll call him. And I did. And I said, hi, Harold, this is Jerry. And of course, he knew who it was right away. first thing he said was, "How are you doing?" which was so typical of him. And I said, "I'm doing okay, but I'm kind of hearing that you're not doing too well." And he said this. He said, "I think I've given up." And he had this sort of sound in his voice, like I'm doing something wrong. And it was one of those moments when I depended completely on my divine self or the Holy Spirit speaking through me, because I didn't have words to connect with that. And the words that came to me and came through me were, "Harold, it's okay to let go." And he passed that evening. It's okay to let go. Ram Dass was asking Emmanuel one time, one of his spirit guides, "What's it like to die?" And Emmanuel said, "It's like taking off a shoe that's too tight." He said, "It's perfectly safe." I wonder what it would be like if we could enter the next moment of our lives, wherever we might be, with that same kind of sense. The next moment, I am going to be completely alive, whether I have a body or not. And the freedom that I am going to be experiencing at that particular time, at that particular moment, is going to be like taking off a shoe that's too tight. This moment, the next one, the next one, the next one. You might realize that what we ended with last week was a comparison. And I don't know whether the book made it terribly clear or not, but it was a comparison between perceiving life through my, what we might call my small self, and perceiving life through my higher consciousness. So I just wanted to make that particularly clear, because I think what the paradox that I run into when I'm doing work like this is that somehow or another, I'm trying to get into my higher consciousness using my lower consciousness as a means of getting there. Kind of like the little engine that could, right? I think I can. I think I'm in my divine self. I think I can be in my divine self. And the paradoxical thing about that is that that doesn't work. It's just not, the small self is not made to create the higher self. The higher consciousness is already there. So I become in tune with or in alignment with my higher consciousness when I let go, when I consciously release my expectations, what I think this is supposed to look like, even the words, even saying, "Well, I'm in my higher consciousness." Sometimes I have to stop and say, "Well, who's saying that? Okay. Is that my little self saying that, that really wants, that thinks it should be there? Or is that really my higher consciousness talking?" And so one of the things we're doing here, one of the many things we're doing here, is allowing ourselves to be in alignment with our higher consciousness and to know that you know. And that goes beyond any physical explanation. Do you know that you know? Are you in your knowing? And see, all of a sudden what happens is my mind clicks on and says, "Well, how do I know that I know? Am I really in my knowing, or am I just fooling myself? Because I fooled myself in the past, blah, 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 blah." And stop for a minute and say, the only reason why I'm here this morning, okay, is because I know that I know. I can't explain that to you. But I don't even show up on Sunday morning saying, "Well, I think I'm going to share my knowing with you." I am going to open myself up to divine consciousness as best as I possibly can, kind of like turning on a faucet. Might not be on all the way, but I'm doing the best I can with that one. And we're taking a shower together. We're both in that same kind of consciousness. We don't try to measure that and say, well, I'm halfway in and halfway out. I don't try to measure that and say, here I am opening myself the best way I know how at this particular moment. Beyond words, beyond feelings, beyond thoughts, beyond definitions. So let me just share that last piece that we ended with that I don't think I made terribly clear. It's from the paragraph on the middle of page 38, if you have the book available to you, and if you don't, that's okay. Now, we will explain this to you. The purview that you have in the material plane is what you know yourself through. I define myself through the things around me, through my stuff. Those very things that you encounter on a daily basis that affirm the structure that your personality has created to know herself through. So if I were in that particular realm, I would be holding on to the identity, let's say, of being a teacher. Well, I'm in charge of this class. I'm not, but that's what my little self would be saying. She claims her identity in everything she sees, because as we have said, everything she sees is a reflection of her own consciousness. So if I'm a teacher, well, you're the students, obviously. And if I'm the teacher, well, I know more than you do. And of course, if you're the student, well, I don't know as much as my teacher does. That's just a little example. The meanings things have, anything can be invested in by her based on what she was taught. That's my little self, my small self consciousness. I walk into the world and I interact with the world with one particular role or a particular definition of myself that seems to be important at this moment. Grandfather, grandson, aunt, uncle, friend, sponsor, whatever it happens to be. And then it goes on to say, this is in comparison to my small self, my consciousness that I usually live out of on a daily basis. Because it's really interesting, you know, I forget who I am sometimes, and I'm sure you do too. And then I come walking into an environment like this one, and I go, I got to shift gears here. I can't be, but I'm not going to be limited by that role that I define myself as before I walk through these doors. It's almost like I walk through a gateway and I have a different sense of self that's present here in this moment. The aspect of you that we will call the Christ, in contrast to the other one, or the divine spark or the true self, or the manifestation of God and man, which is always present, knows far more. And as she comes into purview in her majesty, in her truth, in her brilliance, she will announce herself as you. And this is how she does it. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. I am here. I am here. I am here. And just to get the difference in the tonality, in the energy between that first set of labels or definitions that we usually walk through life with and this divine consciousness, this self of the truth of who we really are. And this is not a judgment, but wondering, you know, how much during a day am I really aware of that divine consciousness? Or do I immediately almost fall back into a role? So I walk out of here this morning, and all of a sudden I become a member of Unity, going to a Sunday service, listening to somebody. even then, even in my spiritual reflection of being in this sacred space, I'm still identified a lot of times with the small self. And again, I'm not doing that on purpose, and I'm not judging myself for that, but it's really good to be aware of and say, well, how would my divine consciousness respond to this? And I might just want to take a couple of conscious breaths and just be in that space of awareness. Be in that space of awareness, where nothing is happening on the outside, but everything's happening on the inside. So truly, if you're trying to get into your higher consciousness through your lower consciousness, you can't get there from here. It's just not made that way. We get into our higher consciousness, or we align ourselves with unconditional love, by opening ourselves to it. It's an act of surrender, which is a rather paradoxical thing to begin with. Who is it that's surrendering? I'm surrendering my small self to be open to a higher consciousness. I'm choosing to see myself. I'm letting go of my old definitions or ideas of self to be aware of a deeper sense of the truth of who I am. Yeah, Jim, please, if you wouldn't mind using the mic. Thank you.
Yeah, so I don't know why this kind of came to me as you were as you're sharing that I was thinking for me is it had become just an automatic, like after even leaving this space and hearing go upstairs, there's a compartmentalized, which is akin to separation, that okay, that was nice. But there is a unconscious forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to ask myself, is that the unconscious forgetting? And of course, during the week, I'll ask myself, why am I putting compartmentalizing my spirituality and not together? So I'm working with that. I don't know if it's vulnerability. I don't know if it's fear of being misunderstood, but it appears it was just like conscious, like, okay, this was nice, but there's, for me, not an application. I'm not really judging myself. I'm just becoming more aware.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I can recall quite often when I was giving retreats, weekend retreats, that after lunch on Sunday, we would have a closing. And I can't count the number of times people would say, well, back to the real world. And at first I bought into that. I said, yeah, that's true. The real world sucks. It was nice to have this weekend off, but it's back to, going to work and doing this and doing that. And all of a sudden I realized, well, not all of a sudden, but it took a while for me to realize, what were we doing in this weekend? Were we just escaping something? Or were we building something this weekend that was very unlike the structure we might have walked in with on Friday evening? And is it possible that we can carry that with us? That this is just as real, or maybe even more real, than the world you're walking back into. And echo what Jim was saying is that I do think that a lot of it has to do with being feeling safe. That my little self is constantly on the edge of saying, okay, well, yeah, we'll give you an hour on Sunday morning. But once you leave that room, it's back. You need to get back to being safe again, because You know, you can't have the same openness or vulnerability that you have in this room or this class as you would in the outside world. And again, we don't even do that consciously, but that's one of the things that happens. So one of the things we're being asked to do here is can I align myself with a sense of perfection and safety, even outside of the realm of my small or unconscious self? A lot of that has to do with my own personal awareness, which is one of the things we are continually working on here.
Jerry?
Yeah.
This is Paula. I liked what Jim said about that feeling of, and you said, you know, when you're in a space with meditation, reading something deep and contemplating, and then you say walk out of the room into life situations, how quickly it feels like I'm, you know, have forgotten everything. But then I the thought occurred to me that maybe these are our tools when we have these moments of some awareness, a deeper awareness, is at least I feel I have some tools to work with in the challenges that our lives present to us, that I realize looking back that I didn't have when I was 20. So at least I feel I'm gathering, I know I'm gathering something to work with.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I've become aware that there are sometimes when I'm awake and sometimes when I'm asleep. There are sometimes when I'm aware and sometimes when I'm not aware. There are sometimes when I'm in my higher consciousness and there are other times when I'm in my lower consciousness. I don't even realize that I'm in my lower consciousness until something comes along and sort of reminds me. My sense about that is that maybe that's a real definition or a description of what we're here for, of what life is. Life on planet Earth is going through periods of awakening and sleeping, awareness and unawareness, continually. And that what we are being called to do is when I become aware again after a period of time of unawareness, or in other words, when I become aware that I'm a divine being rather than a little self, that I forgot, I lost track of that. When I become aware of that again, instead of beating myself up for falling asleep, I allow myself to be grateful for being awake again. Again and again. How many times do I have to do that? Peter asked Jesus about forgiveness. You know, and that's when he said that famous line, 70 times 7, which is a mystical number kind of meaning infinity. You do this until you don't need to do it anymore. So my sense is that when we are in higher consciousness, seeing everything as unconditional love, then that's kind of the end of this earthly trip. That's the goal. That's the higher consciousness goal, when I can see everyone and everything as unconditional love. And not to judge ourselves for not being there yet. If you're not there yet, well, it's not finished yet. Okay, there's still more to learn, still more to grow with. I was working with a client a while ago. Actually, I don't have clients anymore, but sometimes people call me up on the phone and they need a retread. And we finished doing some work together. And I remember him saying, "What else do I need to know?" And I said, "Be gentle with yourself." Of course, I needed to hear that myself. Be gentle with yourself. for God's sake, if you treated anybody, if you mouthed off to anybody the same way you mouth off to yourself, can you imagine how many people would, you'd have those little rings around you with people touching you with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah. Jerry?
Yes, John.
So a little while ago, you said something around the words, you can't get there from here. And this reminded me of a time years ago when I worked with Fortune 100 companies, and we had an axiom where we were working to help them imagineer their future. And that axiom said, you can't get there from here, but you can get here from there. I think it was something like that. And the idea was that if they could put themselves into a future state where they could imagine the future, then they could backtrack and say, okay, so what do we need to do now to get to here, to get to there?
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, if we can be in our higher state, in our divine self, then perhaps we can know what we need to do with our smaller self today. Maybe you can comment on that.
Okay. I was reminded of what a teacher said one time. You will see it when you believe it. Not the other way around. You will see it when you believe it. And so that we can create that, what's the words that we use here in so much of this work is opening ourselves up to the possibility. And that's another way of using the imagination. I open myself up to the possibility that I can know that I am in my divine consciousness. That's the way I would put it. And of course, what that does is it opens the door to my divine consciousness. That's what I can do. I can't make it happen, but I can get right up to that point, that kind of that edge of surrender where it's going to happen if I'm willing to place myself on that growing edge. Does that fit, John?
Yes, I think so.
Thanks for that. We're on page 39. The divine self, the Christ consciousness, the higher self, that aspect of you that is always present is the one who speaks these words. I know who I am. I know what I am. That's the divine self speaking. It's not the little engine that could, I think I can, I think I can. It's not the small self saying something, trying to make something happen. It's my divine self repeating the truth of who she is. And in her claim as you, the divine self as you, I say that again and again and again, the divine self as you, not as you, the personality self. Personality self and your ego consciousness are the lens through which the divine light shines through. So it's unique in that perspective. But the divine self as you, you are a unique expression of divine consciousness. And you are such a unique expression of divine consciousness that it will never happen again. There will be no one with your genetic makeup, your karma, your history, past, present, future, that will be that same unique lens through which the divine shines through. No one else can do that the way you can. No one else will be able to do that the way you can. In her claim as you, begins to become the ruler of the kingdom that you see before you. And the kingdom of the divine self, the landscape that she exists in, is vastly different because she identifies in love, in value, in agreement with the worth of who and what she knows herself to be, and she will not be defied. She has no need to know who she is in value through her creations, through her stuff. He who has the most toys wins. She understands that what she sees before her is a manifestation of consciousness, lower consciousness most of the time, and therefore can become malleable. It's changeable. It's workable. It's not inevitable. Well, I've always been that way. I'm very hesitant in using those words out loud, but occasionally I get my head telling me that. But she does not invest in an identity that will appease a cultural dictate or a family value or a need to be seen in a certain way. Now, some of you may think, well, I don't do that. I don't care how people see me. Perhaps you don't. But the history you carry with you, like a bunch of tin cans on a wedding car, are clanking behind you all day long. They're constantly poking you on the back on getting your attention. What about being Irish? What about being Catholic? What about being white? What about being this? What about all of, and see, there are hundreds of labels that flow from the other labels, kind of subsets of sets. And until you are liberated from the sense of self that was inherited by you, by culture and family and dictates of fashion or worth based on eternal support from others, you will never know your true name. I am here, I am here, I am here. You will never know your true name. Now, as we continue to teach you, we will lead you through some processes very gently that will show you how the manifestations you see before you were created by you and what it means for something to be unsteady or malleable in the face of consciousness. Let me share one other paragraph and then we're going to do a meditation on this. And if anybody has anything they want to add, please do that. The next time you go to the store, look at the prices on things and don't say, this costs so much. I'm reminded of that commercial on TV. I think it's some insurance company about preventing you from becoming your parents. Okay. Yeah, it's a really interesting commercial because I think we could apply it right here. Have I become my parents? Have I become my heritage? Have I become what other people told me I was? Have I become my racial consciousness? Have I become this? Have I become? And stopping for a minute and saying, oh, is that me really talking? I know it was shocking for me when I heard my mother's voice come out of my mouth when I was correcting one of my grandkids. So where the hell did that come from? It was lying dormant for years. And there it is. And then I had to ask myself, is that really what I want to say? Is it the message I really want to convey? The next time you go to the store, look at the prices on things and don't say, this costs too much. Say instead, look what they decided to charge for this thing. Now, I can't change that. I can decide to buy it or not, okay? I know there was a script my mother had. It's what I call these days settling for second best. She would not use these words, but what usually came out was, that's what I really want over there. That's the brand or the style or the thing that I really want over there. But here's a cheaper model. When it doesn't quite fit the bill, I can get by with that. And so she was constantly living in this state of discomfort, of nothing, nothing ever really fit. I really wasn't worth getting the best thing. And you know, for a long time in my life, I found myself falling into that same pattern of looking at this and looking at this and saying, well, this is more expensive, it's much better than the other one, but I can probably get by with this one over here. Mm. And of course, as soon as I bought it, I was sorry because I really wanted the other one. So not only did I not have what I wanted, I had this piece of crap, right, that I didn't want in the first place, that I was getting by with. And it took me years to realize that was my mother's value and not mine. It took me years. I mean, I knew there was a sense of there was something wrong with this picture, but I could never quite get in touch with what that was until I finally realized that's not my value at all. Look how they give it value and look and compare what has more value than the next. And you will decide for yourself in quick certainty that not only was this happening in your head, but it was done by a man and you have been taught what to value more, either by its packaging or somebody else's sense of what its quality is. This is an agreement, not how much does it cost, can I afford it, but who decided this and based on what? When you begin to do this, you will begin to see how consciousness operates as well and how I get sucked into somebody else's consciousness. I mean, all of advertising is made that same way. What do? We create a lack inside of you, even though it didn't exist 30 seconds ago. We create a need inside of you that if it's not fulfilled, then you're not going to feel very good about yourself. When you go to the store, what you value in many ways is dependent on what you were taught. I would get the blue sweater. I have been told I look lovely in blue. It matches your eyes. I will go get the tank. I will keep myself safe. I will be a soldier because I must be safe. Whatever the crazy thing is, you may decide for yourself. You'll understand that so much of what you would choose is based on historical context. And the value you give yourself and your worth is entirely dependent on the things outside of yourself. That's really pretty huge. The last sentence especially. The value you give yourself and your worth is entirely dependent on things outside of yourself. That will make me look cool. Of course, then I'm dependent upon somebody reminding me that it does look cool.
Right.
Okay. And if nobody comes along, I'm gonna have to expand the plumage a little bit more. Okay. I'm gonna have to get a little bit more attention. Okay. I mean, because I know I look cool.
Your girlfriend will go out in this
car. So let's take a few minutes, guys. See, that's something really interesting when you show up and in your pajamas. You don't have to look cool on Sunday morning. Isn't that great? And if you're in the least bit worried about that, you just click off your picture, okay? And your name just shows up. So everybody knows, nobody knows whether I look cool or not right now, okay? that paradoxical space of allowing ourselves to become aligned to our higher consciousness. What makes it even more paradoxical is that you're not patting yourself on the back saying, well, I'm in my higher consciousness now. Because when you're in it, you don't need to recognize it. It's already there. Mm-hmm. And see, I think that's a wonderful thing that happens here on Sunday morning and Tuesday evening, if you happen to be part of Tuesday evening, is, you know, we have that space where we don't have to pat ourselves on the back. We're just there. Now, later on, we might say, boy, that was a high state of consciousness I was in. How do I get that back? Well, if you depended upon circumstances, well, I'll get it back next Sunday. Or I'll get it back when I'm sitting next to so-and-so. If I'm looking for a set of circumstances that's going to create that reality for me, good luck, it's not going to work. That's where magical thinking comes in. Let's see, I was wearing that sweater and those pair of shoes when I had that Satori. When I had that Satori, that moment of enlightenment. So let me get that sweater and those pair of shoes again. And let me sit in the same spot. And let's see if I can get hit by that same piece of lightning again. I'm depending upon external circumstances to create an internal state of mind. Mm. Doesn't happen. Mm. Can't happen. Mm. So there's something above and beyond our material world and our interaction with the material world that happens here with each one of us on Sunday morning, which I am very grateful for. So allow yourself to get comfortable in your spot. And I was thinking I was going to do a meditation at the end. This seems to be a much more flowing space. So we'll do it. Comfortable where you are. Getting in touch with your breathing. Letting your breathing find its own natural rhythm. And then noticing the rhythm, the beating of your heart. And know what it's like to be aware that all hearts, not just the physical heart, but the spiritual heart. All spiritual hearts, whatever creature might be inhabited by them, all spiritual hearts are yearning for the same thing. You can call it peace in one moment. You can call it unconditional love in another moment. You can call it serenity. You can call it stillness. Give it all sorts of names. But the reality of it is the same. No matter what dimension, no matter what planet, no matter what set of circumstances, all hearts are yearning for that truth. And allow yourself to settle into that awareness. That there's no such thing as being alone. There's no such thing as separateness. There's no such thing as my divine consciousness. Because divine consciousness is one. It's not mine, it doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to my little self. It just is. As a unity minister put it one time, the isness of the allness. And your mind cannot comprehend that, nor does it need to. But your heart knows. Your heart knows. And allow yourself to be with the energy of your heart. If it needs to speak to you, let it speak. And be aware of what it might be like if you could have this awareness with you, even as you enter into the tasks of the day, whatever they might happen to be for you, whether it's cooking or cleaning or watching a football game. That you have with you this awareness of being, this awareness of connectedness. And get a sense that you can breathe it into your being and allow it to touch every cell and fiber of you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Words of Jesus reflecting the Christ consciousness. Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. I will never leave you alone. Breathe deeply and stretch a bit. You can open your eyes when you're ready. And here's a reflection from the book on what we might have been open to experiencing a couple of minutes ago. Now we are teaching you something very important. And what we wish you to know and know well is that your value, your true value, cannot be dependent upon anything outside of the self. Do you understand this? Your inherent value as a divine being cannot be dependent on anything outside of the self, because as long as you are creating a sense of dependency on your external life to show you your value, you are operating with a false god, and we will explain this in later chapters. The way the Buddhist teacher put it one time was, and I might have shared this quote before, but it's one of my favorites. The reason why you are so unhappy is because 99.9% of the things you do are for yourself, and there isn't one. 99.9 things that you do are for yourself, and there isn't one. You get that? Tricky. There isn't a self. Self is what you created. Your little self is what you created. And 99.9% of the things you do are to satisfy your little self, and there isn't one. Let's see, we got one more thought to end with here. We'll end with this one piece. The divine as you knows who you are. That's what you can ask yourself. Am I in my knowing? Not am I saying to myself, well, am I divine consciousness? Am I in my knowing? And in my knowing is free of judgment. My knowing is absolute unconditional love. My knowing is beyond comparison, is beyond words. Am I in my knowing? The divine as you knows who you are. She knows your needs for learning, your needs for support, and your needs for unfoldment. And she will meet you every step of the way. But if you are looking for symbols and signals on the wall, you pass to remind you of your own importance or your own value, or you are not looking at the right thing. Look to the light, my friends. Look to the divine and ask this question, am I worth my own being? Divine self, show me that I am worthy of knowing my true self. That's a great one-liner. Divine self, show me that I am worthy of knowing my true self. Divine self, teach me to know who I truly am outside of my creations, and let me be aligned to my own knowing of my own divinity. I thank you for this, and I affirm this by saying, I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. I am aligned to peacefulness. I am aligned to the truth of who I am. I'm aligned to stillness. I'm aligned to unconditional love. I am aligned to my awareness of deeper and higher consciousness. And for all of that, I am grateful. Thank you all for being present here on Sunday morning. Thank you for all your kind and continuing donations that allows this work to continue. Stay warm. Stay clear, stay healthy, stay safe. I love you all. See you next week. Take care, guys.
Love you,
Thank you,
Jerry.
Love you, Jerry. Thank you.
See y'all.
Bye, Jim.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, guys. Miles away, and yet still here. Isn't that great?
Thank you.
It's great to have a California contingent.
But I sent her the link the first time, man. I didn't.